Blog Talk Radio.
January 13, 2014. And this is your host, Minister Von Dumas. And I'm broadcasting live here in San Antonio, Texas. And it's a lovely day, a lovely night out. We've had having some wonderful weather in the lower 70s. And I hope that you've warmed up a little bit also, wherever you may be. And whatever the case may be, I know it's another cold front that's going to be touching in different places. So wrap up there, JD in Boston, and all of you that's in on the East Coast there. Well, let's get together and get a little word on us before we turn in for tonight. Let's get ready for another night, a lovely night. And may you rest tonight. May you have absolutely peace and rest tonight. Whatever's going on, it'll still be going on tomorrow. Make up your mind. It will still be going on tomorrow. And it'll be even different after you have rested, got a good night's sleep. Amen? We're going to start with our scripture today, and we're going to just do a couple different verses here. Tonight we're just talking about a spiritual pottery lesson. Also with just a fruitful life of just continuing on with as our past one was getting your life back on course. So just having that fruitful life and experiencing and enjoying and understanding a little bit more about our God of grace, our God of grace. Amen? So we're going to start out in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, we're going to be looking at chapter 64. We're just going to do one verse there, and it's going to be verse 8. So Isaiah, and then we're going to move over to Proverbs. Proverbs, we're going to do chapter 3. And we're going to read a little bit more of that. We're going to read chapters 5 through 12. And then we're going to end our scriptures for tonight just going into Ephesians, which is going to be in the New Testament. We're going into Ephesians chapter 2 and read verses 4 and 5. We'll go into our prayer, and then we'll let the Holy Spirit do what he does. Amen? Well, amen, amen, and amen. Again, we're starting tonight with, you got it, Isaiah 64 and 8. All right. And shall we read? Isaiah 64 and 8, read, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And we are all the work of your hands. You are the potter, are the clay. We humble ourselves before you because we understand that you are the potter and we are the clay. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we get that mixed up. We start living life like it's the other way around, but it's not. We need to all come back down. I don't care how high we think we've got. We are the potter. We are the clay. He is the potter. Amen? Let's go now into Proverbs. We said Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12 reads as follows. In the Lord, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and shun evil. Hallelujah. This will bring health to your body. It will bring nourishment to your bones. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruit of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. 11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Amen? All right, let's run back over to Ephesians now, New Testament. Run over to Ephesians in chapter 2, and we're going to do 4 and 5. Starting with verse 4, and it reads, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us enough to discipline us, dear Father. Throughout our land, throughout our nation, you are always there. Hallelujah. You're always there, just waiting patiently in line for us. You're always there, making a way out of no way. You're always there, forgiving us for our sins, cleansing us, dear Father, when we get ourselves all dirty and messed up, taking our mess and refusing to leave us there and just turning it upside down that the world that used to laugh at us now has to listen to the word as you use us, dear Father, to speak your words through. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask that we decrease and may all that your word is intended to do, shoot your arrows of love and mercy, and may your grace just fall upon our ears and upon our hearts. May we rest tonight in your peace, leaning not to our own understanding, but your peace, your love, your grace, as we lead into a fruitful life. Now we are the clay, and we dedicate and give our lives to you, the potter. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. You know, I decided to take a clue from the prophet Jeremiah, who visited a potter's studio at the Lord's request. In Jeremiah 18, it tells us about that. So have you ever just stopped by an art institute, maybe just to observe a class, or have you ever just watched it on TV, maybe the potter and his clay and the work and how he spins it and forms it and how it may try to move off of the wheel, but he just gently grabs it back and molds it, not losing any of it. Have you ever just paid attention to any of that? The next time that you have the opportunity to stop by an art museum or institution just to observe a class, I recommend that you do that. Or just check it out online. That's the easiest thing to do. And what the sole purpose is to get a better understanding, biblical metaphor of God as the potter, and then you and I as the clay. Here's what you'll learn when you walk into that life. You'll learn that there is a room full of whirling pottery wheels. The pottery wheels are everywhere, and then the potter has power over the clay. See, that's a good word right there. You got to understand first that the potter has power over the clay. So before you get started, you need to understand the elements and who plays which role in here. So we're coming in here with clay, and we expect that this potter is going to make something, that this potter has a plan in his mind for this clay, and this potter has an idea, and he has known how the outcome is going to be. And this potter refuses to give in to this clay, regardless of sometimes the clay may try to get off of the wheel or bend itself in the opposite direction, but he will mold it back, even if he has to put pressure on that clay to get it formed just like he wants it to be formed. He doesn't change his plan just because the clay may decide that it has nothing else to do, because he knows that he is in control. So the potter has power over the clay. That's the way it is in our life. Sometimes we run away. We try to get away from the Lord. We try to go to, you know, instead of going to Nineveh, we try to go into so many different areas. You know, we say, I don't want to go into Nineveh. Those people, you know, they're definitely not going to receive the word. But send me somewhere that there's believers. Send me somewhere that they're going to hoop and holler when I teach the word. You know, they may not be living it, but, you know, they're going to pretend like they're receiving it. But he says, no, I still know where I need you to be right here, right now, at this time, and it's not about you, the clay. It's not about you, the clay. It's still about me, the potter. Amen? regardless of who it is that's over there and you think in one way, I'm still the potter. I still have the plans, and I'm going to let this, it's going to go. I'm not going to let you out of my grips. I'm not going to let you out of my hands. The potter is in control and has power over the clay. Moving right along. So as we now understand, the potter can do what he chooses with the clay. And sometimes he chooses to put designs in one pile of clay, and he chooses another area to do something else with this clay. It's all up to him. See, we humans do have limited free will. He has that much beauty and love for us that he gives us unlimited free will. And you ever heard the expression, you know, you give a boy a rope, you'll try to be a cowboy? And that's the way it is sometimes with the free will that God has extended to us. It's unlimited free will. But we get all carried away and start talking about, this is my life, I do as I want to do. I make my own decision. Why are you worried about my life? We get all confused because he's given us limited free will. We start thinking that we have the power over the potter. But God's will is greater. It's greater. So even if we try to resist his sculpturing hand, he continues to just work towards his purpose. He continues to just work towards his purpose. We may scream, we may yell, we may cry. Sometimes we even try to commit suicide. He still continues to work towards his purpose because he's the master craftsman. And that craftsman has set out to achieve a particular design in us. And there's too many people that what he's designing inside of us, finished with this, it's too many people waiting for this whatever he's putting inside of us. So he can't afford to just let you're whining and you're crying and you're griping, and he can't afford to let that deter him. He's going to continue to work in you with his sculpturing hand. He has a plan to make it take shape. All of these things we spoke about on the broadcast before, about all of these different things. You take some sugar and you just go in a bag of sugar and you just eat all of that sugar, it's going to be pretty gross, even though it may start out sweet for you. You're going to regret doing that, you know? You also just take some flour, and you just start just eating the bag of flour. It's tasteless. You're going to regret doing that. Start just gulping down egg whites. Yuck, yuck, yuck. You're going to regret doing that if you can get it down. But all of those things work together for the better of something. If you put them all together, all of those things can work together and create an awesome angel food cake, an awesome cookie, all of those things working together. And that's the same way it is with the potter. As he's using us, the clay, all of our life's experiences, the good and the bad, all of our life experiences come together, and it takes a shape. It takes a form. It shows our uniqueness, our design, of our growth, of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. The potter works the clay with patience. You know, since God knows that spiritual maturity can't be rushed, he forms our Christ-like characters slowly, one experience at a time. One experience at a time. You know, sometimes we try to get ahead of God, but it's only one experience at a time. You know, that means that he must also have perseverance. It's human clay. Sometimes shifts off center, and even when we become misshapen, when we shift off center. But he has perseverance to keep on going, to use that sculpture hand to bring you back to where it is that he needs you to be. just as the clay can be fashioned only when it sits precisely in the middle of the sand. You've got to go look on Facebook and go pull it up on YouTube, Pattern. And just look how when that sculpture gets that clay to sit right there in the middle of that wheel, how it just starts to form and take shape. And you can literally just look at that clay and see it turning into an art piece, all under the master's hand. You see it too, wither and try to, it'll start to wobble off of the wheel, and he'll just grab it. And you'll see it turn right back into the form, taking shape. You'll say, here it is. Wow. Sometimes the colors in there, you add different colors, and all of those experiences work together to come out to the ending product. You know, Christians, you and I, we must be in the Father's will to grow spiritually. We got to stay in the middle of that wheel to grow spiritually. That's why he won't let you go. That's why he will not let you go. He's trying to answer your prayers, your mother's prayers, your grandparents' prayers for you. And he's going to keep you right there in his will. Because he knows the things that you're trying to do, the ones that you're trying to hang out with, the ones that you really think that you're in love, the ones that you think have really got your back, that's in your corner, he knows differently. He knows differently, and he refuses to let you go. I don't care how angry you are right now, he refuses to let you go. He refuses to let you just live life numb. Live life hiding. Live life not standing up or setting any goals or trying to do anything differently. Live life in a shell and trying to pull others in your shadow to hide away from the world, to hide away from doing anything more. Live life growing older and older and can't put your mind or your finger on anything that you would want to do in life. Finding your purpose. Just moving every day without living life in a purpose. He said, oh, no, you may think that it's time for me to let you go. I'm not letting you go yet. That's why you keep running backwards. You're on a one-way directional, should be going one way, and you're running backwards now. You don't even know how to go. You don't even know to look forward. You don't even know to move forward, to keep moving. So you run back to familiar grounds. You run back to what you remember. Well, this is where I was happy at once. Let me run back there. You're wasting time. That's why he won't allow you to get back in that space. Now, I know the enemy keeps flooding your mind with those yesteryears of that's when I was happy. Yeah, because he's trying to keep your mind off of your present years. Your future years. But the Father knows what's best for you. He's patient. He also has a stern hand. A stern hand that will keep you in shape. We must stay in God's will, in God's focus. See, the bottom maneuvers the drifting believers back into position. And he just, every time he'd move you back into position, that hurt that you, that uncomfortable feeling that you're getting, it's just because he's moving you back into that position, and he's got to remold you again. He's got to remold you again. You said, I always go through this. It's because he's constantly pulling you back in position, constantly remolding you again and again and again. But he never discards his vessels. He never discards his vessels, but tirelessly he works to perfect them. He doesn't get tired. He works to perfect them. Our God is a personal potter. That's a good thing. We serve a God that is a personal potter. I just love that about him. His creation reflects his personality. And his creation in us reflects his character. And his spirit is poured into each of his human vessels so he can be an intimate part of our lives. So someone should be able to see his hand on you. They should be able to see his character in you. They should be able to feel his spirit inside of you. That's how you know when God's working in your life. See, the result of all of his sculpturing, of all of his remolding, of all of his putting you back in position, it's a work of true beauty. It's a saint wholly committed to him, a work of true beauty for fruitful life. You know, God has created us with a longing to know that our presence in this world counts. We want to know that our presence here counts for something. We are not just overlooked, but we matter. He also designed us to find the fulfillment of that desire through his son, Jesus Christ. Own God is central to an abundant life. I know we check out so many other avenues. Turn back around. You've got to depend on God. You know, it was talked, a story was told, it was a father that was in love with his son, as he should be, and the son had a handicap and was not physically able to walk. But they entered into all kind of different races. And they were in a sack race, and the father would carry the son on his shoulders. They were in a cycling race, and as he's cycling, he had a little side cart there for the son, and he would do all the cycling. They did a boat race, and he would strap them on the boat. Whatever they did, son was there just cheering on and had his head held high because he was totally dependent on his father. And he knew that his father would take him all the way. That's the way that we have to be on the Lord. Dependency on God is central to abundant life. Stop trying to get out here doing it yourself. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him with all of our heart. You know, it means just giving him control over our families. Just giving him control over our finances, our jobs, and everything else. Just giving him total control over everything else. Your problems that's wearing you down, giving him total control. Today's message emphasizes just how essential trust is to a fruitful life. We're cautioned in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, that we just read in part of our scripture. We are cautioned against being wise in our own eyes. And we're also warned twice in those verses not to lean on our what? Own understanding. We're cautioned and we're warned because he knew that we was going to get carried away. He cautions us about it. He forewarns us about it. And when facing decisions, you know, we can be tempted to gather information and choose the answers that look right, can't know all the facts, or we can't even predict with certainty how others will respond back. But God, however, is just omnipotent. He reads hearts, and he perceives every thought. No aspect of our lives escapes his notice. He reads hearts. See, you can't fool God. You may say one thing to me and mean another one, but God reads hearts. I can look at you, and it may look like you're saying everything right. You may look like you're playing the part right with certainty. Just how you're going to truly respond to me. How you're going to truly react to me when you're in distress, when you're sad, when you're disappointed. But God reads hearts. He perceives every thought that you have, and nothing escapes his notice. He cares about everyone, and that's why he alone knows which decision is best for each situation. He knows which decision is best situation. That means we don't know exactly. Again, we may be running up here to a gunfight with a knife because we think this is exactly what we need at the time. He knows a fruitful life when we're being the clay is letting the potter have control. Letting the potter be in control. Amen? The abundance life, you know, also involves acknowledging the Lord is in all that we do. All that we do, acknowledge the Lord. Speaking about him is just part of what it means to give him recognition. Speaking of him, you're giving him recognition. As his children, we are to have a marked resemblance to our Heavenly Father. And then in thoughts, in our attitudes, in our actions, it should be our priorities are to reflect him. Our plans should fit with his purpose. You know, life becomes fruitful as we surrender ourselves to the Lord, and then we carry out his will. Galatians 2 and 20 tells us about allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us. We will find our lives characterized by significant and satisfaction when we allow the Holy Spirit to live through us. You know, grace is God's favor to us. Grace is God's love that he shows to mankind. It's his grace that we read about in Ephesians 4 and 5. You know, we can't earn, grace. We can't earn it, or we can never even be good enough to deserve it. So to truly appreciate God's grace, we need to first just comprehend certain truths about God and about ourselves. Certain truths. So in our closing tonight, let's just go over a couple of those, okay? Amen. First, God is absolutely holy. And sin, hear me from the heart, he's absolutely holy. And sin cannot coexist with the sacred perfection of his presence. You know, you can get that out of your head that you can just run around living in sin and then just wallow up and think that you're going to be in his presence and he's going to use you to direct his people, to lead his people. Sin cannot coexist with his perfection of his presence. He's not going to keep your side, but he gives you an opportunity to repent of those sins because all sins have a payment. It's a price tag on that sin. The next time you get ready to jump in bed with that woman, remember, it's a price tag on that sin. The next time you're getting ready to do some things that you know is not right on your job, remember, my sister and my brother, there is a price tag on that sin. Children, the next time that you're ready to be disobedient to your parents, there's a price tag on there. It's not free. You may think you won the battle. You think you all this and that. There is a price tag attached to that anger, attached to that defeatment, attached to those lies. So first of all, again, we must understand that sin can't coexist. That's why he said, I will spew you out of my mouth if you're lukewarm. You can't be a little sin for here and you want to be a little praising over here. You know, some of the most confused people turn into evil people, the most evil, nastiest people, those who, that I have met personally, sometimes can be those who carry these big old Bibles. They got a Bible in their right hand and a gun in their purse in the left hand. They got the Bible in their left hand, and they got a sword slithering out of their mouth, destroying you at the same time. They got a fish on their car, so they're looking around and they're jealous of everybody else. They're looking at what they got, and then they're condemning yours because you got it, but maybe yours ain't fixed up like theirs. And you got it, and you fixed yours up according to your personality, so they're looking down their nose at you. Oh, they messed that up. Oh, you know, why are they doing this? Why are they out here in the heat and black? Some of the silliest things. Sin cannot coexist with the sacred perfection of his presence. You know when Adam and Eve chose to eat from the forbidden tree? Their intimate relationship with him was broken because of sin. Your sin breaks the relationship. And since all future generations inherited their sinful nature, of course, every person then is born with a nature away from the Lord. So we said we're born into sin. Because we inherited their sin for nature. And then next we must understand that God's character is just. See, as a result, he requires payment for our sin. That price tag we're talking about, the penalty that he demands is death. Romans 6:23 said it is death, not just physical death, but also spiritually, through eternal separation from him. And then finally, we have a merciful God who does not treat us as our actions deserve. Thank you, Jesus. But instead, he extends his favor. He extends his love. That's his grace that he extends towards us. He devised a plan that would affirm his holy nature, that it would meet the requirements of his justice. And in that plan, he also enabled us to become members of his family. So again, he devised a plan. That plan would affirm his holy nature, meet the requirements of his justice, and enable us to become members of his family. How did he do that, you said, Minister? How did he do that? I'm glad you asked. He sent his son to accomplish our salvation. See, born as a human being, Jesus lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law. And he alone was qualified to satisfy divine justice. Divine justice. You know, Christ took our place. He bore our sins, is what I'm trying to tell you. And he experienced God's wrath at our rebellion. It was our sin that he suffered, all so that we could reconcile with our Father. And there's so many that won't even acknowledge that the price of that sin, Jesus paid it for us. Jesus paid it all. We don't have to keep running back to that same sin. It's already been worked out for us. We can stand up in the flesh. I refuse to do it. Jesus has already paid for this sin for me. Why am I paying for my life, with my life, of this sin over and over again? Why is that same sin trickling down to my next generations because they see me doing it? So they just open themselves up as vessels and the enemy can just use the same old tricks and just pay different faces. So it works on them, and they're just used to it then that way, so they allow it to work on them. You know, God made this provision for our salvation while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners. Before we even acknowledged him. Some of us still not acknowledging him. God made this provision for our salvation. Romans 5:8. My question to you is, have you acknowledged your sinful state? Have you acknowledged your sinful state? the sins right now that's in your life, have you acknowledged them? Speak it out. Bring it forth. Journal it. Write it down. In your journal, just start writing down your sins. This is your journal. You're talking to you about you. At least acknowledge the things that is holding you back from God. Hallelujah. And then, have you received his forgiveness through faith in Jesus? Have you truly asked him to forgive you for your sins? And if you have you accepted that forgiveness? Are you still beating yourself up for the sins that you did way back when? Will you receive his forgiveness today? And if so, are you expressing ongoing thanksgiving for his grace gives you and covers those sins? Are you expressing that thanksgiving? Are you sharing that thanksgiving with others? Hallelujah. He's a great God. But do you know him? I know you may know that I know him and your mother may know him, but do you know God? Do you know him in a personal way? Do you know him in a way that you can tell him the smallest little details that you would never even think to tell nobody else? Do you know God in that kind of way? You know, this year, why not make a resolution that carries a 100% guarantee of success? Now is the time to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Now is the time to receive the indwelling presence of his Spirit. Now is the time, my sisters and brothers, to become a new creature in Christ. Since he died on the cross for all your sins, you have full forgiveness and can begin to live a newness of life. So you can use the following prayer, or you can use your own words. All you have to do is just believe the words, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. He will come and take up on your invitation to come and live inside of you. Jesus will take your invitation to be your Lord and Savior. See, those sins that you did that no one will even forgive you for, you can repent of those sins to the Lord. And if you've asked forgiveness from people and people still refusing it, don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. God's got you. Go ahead and receive your forgiveness from the Lord. Wash your slate clean. The ones back there who still refusing to let go of that hatred of that thing, let them go ahead and suffer with that. You're going to move on with your life now. Here we go. Let's just repeat the words after me. Tonight is your night. It may be your last night, your last opportunity. Someone in your family is dependent on you. They're looking to you. Stop being the one to offer them all the wrong solutions. Show them a little bit about the actions of the Lord and how he's maneuvering in your life. You said, oh, they don't want to see my life. Come on, come on. Let's try something else. Let's watch what God does. I guarantee, 100% guarantee, God will make a miracle out of your mess. Amen? Here we go. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are truly the Son of God. I confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Please forgive all my wrongdoings and let me live in relationship with you from now on. I receive you as my personal Savior, accepting on my behalf the work you accomplished once and for all on the cross. And I thank you for saving me. Now help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Amen. Amen. You know, I would gladly send you out any biblical literature that you need to get started on your Christian walk, to get back up on the journey, to get your life back onto the right course. It's very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. I am your host, Minister Von Dimmer, and I love you. Here at Triad Moment Ministries, we truly love you because we love the Lord. But my love can only go so far. God has unboundable love. There's no limits to it. He gives you what you need when you need it. He has so much love that he even gives you his grace to cover up things. It's nothing you could do to earn his grace. It's his favor to you. Now that you've just asked him to come and be a part of you, why don't you reach out and just let me know so we can just pray together about what it is now that God wants from you. Where do I go from here? You need to get into a Bible teaching church. We can pray. We can find one in your area, whatever state or country that you're in. I promise you, God will lead us in that right direction. Just that kind of God. He's just that kind of God. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. When we come to the end of another broadcast, you do your best to be the best that you can be. I'm going to do the same. You pray for me, I'm going to pray for you. I'll see you next broadcast. Good night. Bye-bye.